Sometimes I get the feeling that Eretz Yisrael gets bad press. Sometimes I just come across pieces in Svarim that blow my mind away. I've had that experience recently, which brought me to feel that Haggadahs for Pesach can be dangerous for your health. Spiritual health we're talking about. I want to read one little paragraph in a Haggadah that came out, and it's a Haggadah of one of the true Gedolei Yisrael of recent years in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to mention his name because I think the whole thing is a bazillion, and what I'm going to quote, I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt he never said it. Not only he never said it, he never dreamed it. Would he have seen it? He would have been livid with anger if he was capable of being livid with anger. Our God says the following. Very small paragraph, very brief paragraph. Our God says that Ilu nosan lonu es ha-Torah, would God have given us Torah, v'lo ichni sonu l'Eretz Yisrael, and he would not have brought us into Eretz Yisrael, dagen. That would have been enough for us. Quote, or rather, no quote. They write this as a quote of this giant, a giant whom I knew him well. Manoalu elu hasomim es hadogish al Eretz Yisrael, v'lo al kiyum mitzvos haTorah. How foolish are those people who place the emphasis on Eretz Yisrael and not on the fulfillment of mitzvos haTorah. V'halo b'chol leil Pesach, don't they realize every night of Pesach, omnim hein b'mo pihem, with their own mouths they say, ilu nosa lonu was haTorah, would God have given us Torah, v'lo hichni sonu l'Eretz Yisrael, and he wouldn't have brought us into Eretz Yisrael? Dayenu! You know what that means? Torah is important, Eretz Yisrael is not important. Would he have given us Torah and not brought us into Eretz Yisrael? Dayenu! V'chie'enos ne'em shomotet asher piem tover. Don't their ears hear what their mouths say? Et moha. I wonder. All right, I'm going to take this little paragraph and I'm going to paraphrase it on a line before. Ilu kevonu lifnei Har Sinai, would God have brought us to Har Sinai? V'lo nasa lanu shatorah, and would not have given us the Torah. Dayenu, how silly are these people who place so much stress on Torah? Don't they say every Pesach night, would God have brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah? Dayenu! Don't they hear with their ears what they say with their mouths? Et Maha, I wonder. Of course, it's all Narishkeit. This Godel B'Yisrael never said that Narishkeit. That's not the Pshat and Dayenu altogether. But why does somebody make up something as ridiculous, as absurd as this? I say Eretz Yisrael gets bad press. How can anybody in their right mind read this and put it into a Haggadah of this Godel? And by the way, these guys are okay. They attribute it to another Haggadah of Gedolei Yisrael that they took it from, and here you have... What are these guys talking about? We'll get to the Pshat in Dayenu. I think it's worthwhile to know what the Pshat and Dayenu is. But let's say the following. I want to give Eretz Yisrael a little bit good press. And there may be a few ideas that may be valuable. By the way, Eretz Yisrael becomes a problem when you come to the night of Pesach. When you come to the night of Pesach, Eretz Yisrael is a problem. It's been a problem for many people. They've asked all sorts of questions, but the Mirza Hashem, I hope I hope, in all humility, we're going to take care of all of these problems. Question is asked by many. The Chambam says, and it's from the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah till the end of Pesachim, to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzchayim. You know how you fulfill it? Doresh Me'arami Oved Ovi. You're supposed to darshan the parsha of Arami Oved Ovi. Etc. We darshan every part of that parsha. All of that is parshas bikurim. In parshas kitovo, a Jew is supposed to bring bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, first fruits. So he's supposed to make a declaration. Arami Yovidovi Lavan wanted to destroy my father. My father went down to Egypt. The Egyptians caused him to suffer. And then God, in all of his greatness, took us out. Now the Mishnah says, and so paskens the Rambam. You have to darshan the parsha of Arami Yovidovi, the whole parsha. Ad sheyigmor haparsha kula. Until you finish the whole parsha. Well, you know what? We don't do it. You know what pasuk we leave out? We leave out one pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayivienu al hamakom hazeh," and God brought us to this place. "Vayitin lonu et haaretz hazot," He gave us this land. "Eretz zov haschol v'davash," a land flowing with milk and honey. It's right there in Parshas Kitavo, right toward the end of Mikra Bikurim. It says, "Vayivienu," and He brought us to this place, and He gave us this land. "Eretz zov haschol v'davash," and we don't say it. We don't say it in the Haggadah. That's not the only place where it would seem that Eretz Yisrael is getting a raw deal in the Haggadah. Arba Lishonos Shel Geula. Four cups of wine corresponding to the Arba Lishonos of Geula. The Hotzeiti, V'Hitzalti, V'Ga'alti, V'Lakachti. Wait a minute. There's a fifth one. V'Heveiti Etchem El Haaretz, I'm going to bring you to the land that I have lifted my hand in an oath to your others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give the land, and I'm going to give it to you. We have a cup for the Hotzeisi and the Hitzalti and the Gaalti and the Lakachti, but not the Hevesi. There's another time Eretz soil seems to be left out in the Haggadah, and there are people who have dealt with this. I saw recently, by the way, another thing that can be dangerous for your spiritual health. You have to be very careful. I don't know if you get in, most probably you get into shuls around here in Eretz Yisrael. There are these parsha sheets that they give out, Shabbos and shul. It's, you know, guaranteed if anybody tries to learn them all, he will be an Am Haaretz for the rest of his life. Because there's so much stuff over there piled up. Like, so here I picked up a parsha sheet before Pesach, a parsha sheet that asks these questions and even goes so far as to say that the scholar writes that he was once asked by somebody, how can religious Zionist Jews, datilumi, tzionim datil, how can they sit down to a Seder where the Seder simply omits, deletes Eretz Yisrael? No vayivienu al hamakom hazeh. No vehevaiti etchem al hamakom hazeh. Good to kasha? Not really. And I'm amazed that people, I haven't seen anybody who caught what's really taking place in the Haggadah that's going to bring me to a bit of a revolutionary pshat. Maybe even a slightly, or more than slightly, halachic approach. I just want to, sort of soften it, because the blow may be a terrible one. Does anybody know what the last paragraph of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is? Well, let me put it this way. The Haggadah is really divided into two parts. The first is the sipur, the story. When the story ends, we begin Hallel, Shevach v'Hodoyah, thanksgiving to God. Do you know what the last paragraph of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is? Bechol dor v'dor chayiv adam lidach sesatzmo. In every generation, a person has to see himself as though he came out of Mitzrayim. Shenem, as it says, you should tell your son on that day, saying, and now, the next half of this paragraph, which is the end of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because immediately after this paragraph begins, therefore we have a responsibility to praise and exalt. And then we begin Hallel. It ends with the following. It's not our fathers alone that God redeemed. He also redeemed us with them. Shenema. Listen to this pasuk. Fellas, listen to this pasuk that ends Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It should blow your minds. V'osanu hotzimi sham. Us, God took out of there. Leman haviotanu. In order to bring us, latet lanu et haaretz, to give us the land, Hashem nishba l'avotinu, that God swore to our fathers. Where does the Baal HaGadah get this? You know where the Baal HaGadah gets it? From a great man's own Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu. In Parshas Veschanon, the parish of the Ben HaChocham, ki yishalcha bincha v'chalemo, when your son is going to ask you tomorrow, so what are you supposed to tell him? There it is. It's in Parshas Veschanon. You can't miss it. It's right before Shmi. And then the last thing it says, Votanu, this is Moshe telling Klal Yisrael, Otanu hotzimi sham, he took us out of there, leman haviotanu, in order to bring us, latet lanu et haaretz, asher nishbala v'tenu, to give us the land that he swore to our fathers. Do you know what a genius the Baal HaGadah was? He didn't leave anything out. You know what he chose? He chose a pasuk in Tanakh, in Torah, that has two advantages over all the other possible psukim. Number one, it's part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of no less a figure than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. You know what it is? It's the one pasuk that makes the direct connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and its goal, its objective, its purpose. Osanu hotzimi sham, he took us out of there in order. Leman. Do you know what leman means? Leman always means the ultimate goal, the ultimate objective. V'zocher chazdei avos umevi goel l'bnei v'nehem leman shemo b'yavo. Leman yibu yimeichem v'mei v'nehem. You'll come across lemans and you'll see exactly what I mean. Do you know what this pasuk is saying? This pasuk is saying that the goal, the objective of taking Klal Yisrael out of the time was to bring them there to Israel. But there has to be a stop on the way. You know what the stop on the way is? The stop on the way is to pick up Torah, because Eretz Yisrael without Torah is not Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe Yisrael wants to bring us to an Eretz Yisrael, but we have to come there equipped with Torah and to create a Torah life in Eretz Yisrael. The Baal HaGadah was gewaldig. He chose the one pasuk that makes an inextricably intertwined connection. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not Torah alone. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that Jews should arrive in Eretz Yisrael. The other two questions that we had asked, why don't you bring the pasuk in Arami Oved Ovi Vayivienu al Amakom Hazeh? Vayibenu, and he brought us means that, well, he did this for us, he did that for us, and you know, he also did this. He also brought us here, but it doesn't say that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to come to Eretz Yisrael. Vautzeisi v'itzalti v'ba'alti v'lokachti. And then afterwards it says, v'heibesi, after I've done all of that, the next thing on the list is, v'heibeti, I'll bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Does it mean that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Eretz Yisrael? No, certainly not. The Barak Goda chose a pasuk that's more powerful than them all. Here's where I get a little bold. I get a little bold. You know, why not be a little more than bold? Do you know what this pasuk is saying? That there's a qualitative difference between a person celebrating the Seder in Chutz Laretz and celebrating it in Eretz Yisrael. The Jew who's celebrating the Seder in Eretz Yisrael can say, in the fullness of his Ruchnius, Rabbeinu Shleilam, I made the whole journey. We started our journey 3,500 years ago in Mitzrayim. We've been journeying for 3,500 years, and I made it back. I accomplished what you wanted to begin with. Oh, son, oh, Hotzimi Shon. He took us out of there in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. What about the poor Jew in Chutz Laretz, who hasn't made the whole journey? He's stuck someplace in the middle. What am I going to do about him? How does he fulfill the mitzvah on the night of the Seder? Here comes another bold stroke. I even like it. That's why at the beginning of the Seder, we say, Hashata Hacha, this year we are here. Lashona Habo, next year, Ba'ar of the Yisrael, we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. You know what the Balak Goda wanted? That the Jew of Chutz Laretz, before he begins the Seder, has to make a clear statement of intent. I want to. I pray. It's my intention. As soon as the kids now finish college, and as soon as I have $5 million in the bank, I'm going to make it. He has to make that commitment. He has to say, Hashata Hocha, this year I'm here, but I want, the Ben Shalom, I want next year to be Ba'ar of the Yisrael. Only then can he begin the Seder and attempt to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why at the end of the Seder, he shouldn't forget the commitment that he made at the beginning of the Seder. He says, Lishona Habo, B'Yerushalayim. But the ultimate fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and all of the mitzvahs of Pesach, its optimal fulfillment, is a Jew sitting in Eretz Yisrael and saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, oh, I feel great. I have made your historic journey. A son of Hotzimi Shalom, he took us out of there in order to bring us to this land, and I'm here, I made it. There are two Rashis that in one way or another everybody is aware of. If the only thing you're going to get out of this year is a third Rashi, and this is a Rashi that has to blow your minds too. I just want to make this Rashi as famous as the first Rashi in Chumash. You say it every day, twice a day, three times a day. These things are. Rashi says the following. Torah should not be like some old edict of a king, she'ein adam sofna, that a person doesn't consider it terribly important. Zonga does that a long, long time ago. Ela, Torah has to be kechadosh, it has to be like it's new. Sha'akol rotzin likrosa, that everybody runs to Torah. B'chol yom, every day Torah should be ve'einecha kechadoshim. Torah should be in your eyes like something new. Rashi, in a similar sense, repeats it in Parashas V'hoyon Shamoa. V'hoyon Shamoa Tishmo Mitzvotai Asher Anokhi Mitzaveh Chamayom La Havot Asher Elokechem Liovdo B'cholobachem Lichol Nafshchem. Rashi, Etchem Hayom, what I command you today, Sheyu Aleichem Chadoshim, Ki'ilu Shematem Bo B'yon Torah, should be new to you like you heard it today. There's always great excitement and exhilaration with something that's new. Torah should never be old. Torah has to be every day new. Now I want to read the Rashi. A Rashi that appears well before these. It appears at the end of Parshas Bo. And I don't know, for some reason this Rashi got lost. But I think it got lost. And I want to make sure that everybody knows it. If you'll be doing yourself and Klal Yisrael a great favor if after the Shir you'll go over this Rashi 50 times and make sure you know this Rashi. It's a Rashi on one of the Parshios that are in your Tefillin, Shiyat Tefillin Shirosh, V'hoyo Ki Yivyacho. When God brings you to the land of the Kanani, as He swore to you and to your fathers, He's going to bring you to the land that He swore to your fathers, and He's going to give it to you. You're sitting? Listen to what Rashi says. Eretz Yisrael. Every day you have to feel as though Eretz Yisrael was given to you today. It should not be in your eyes like something I got as a Yerusha from my father. Ah, I got it 20 years ago. Okay, Pa, God, you left me a Yerusha. Okay, big deal. I'll read it again. It has to be in your eyes like God gave it to you today. It should not be like some kind of an old inheritance. You can do with it, you can do without it. Oh, no, no, no. You're exhilarated, you're thrilled, and you're excited today because I feel like the Rebbeinu gave me Eretz Yisrael today. That's quite a Rashi. That's quite a Rashi. One cannot sort of relate to Eretz Yisrael with, you know, boredom, or you know, these guys with the big kippahs who God they care about Eretz Yisrael. Where? Teva. I know that's both. Torah has to be Be'enecho Kechadoshim. You have to be thrilled and excited. Today, a pasuk, like it was given to you today. You have to be thrilled with Eretz Yisrael like you got it today. You know what that means? What about when we are reaching the day on which it was given to our generation after 2,000 years? That day begins this evening. Kal v'chomer ben v'noishu kal v'chomer, that you're supposed to feel ki'ilu nitna l'chob bo v'yom, it was given to you today. One of our big problems is, and we have this problem in every one of our relationships with friends, with rabbeim, with yeshiva, with parents, we take things for granted. We take things for granted. It's old hat. We're not excited. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Torah and Eretz Yisrael has to be a sense of daily excitement. I always say, thank God I was young enough at the time of these events to experience them and appreciate them. I've grown, of course, to appreciate it over the years far more. I remember the day of the establishment of the State of Israel. That was the day on which the Rebbe Yishom gave Eretz Yisrael as a matana to Klal Yisrael. That's the day of the matana. And every day since then, one has to feel as though that land has been given to us that day. By the way, there were 2,000 years of Jews that didn't have the opportunity to fulfill this Rashi. What do you mean you gave it to me today? I don't have it. We have it. 58 years, we have it. We have the opportunity to fulfill this Rashi. Kervenshon, you gave it to me. Thank you. And should I feel today like you gave it to me now? That's a ruchniyistic feeling about Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rashi's talking about. Last night I was at a gathering in Binyanei HaUma. About 3,000 people, religious people, who got together to mark Yom HaZikaron Memorial. There was an extremely, extremely moving experience. One of the speakers, Rav Moti Alon, told this following story. He told the story of somebody who had survived the concentration camps. His job was at one point to bury 1,000 little children that had been gassed. The most ghastly job anybody ever had to do. Some years after the war, Mati said that he was talking to this man, and he finally, after a long conversation, he asked him, "What was the most difficult moment for you?" He thought for a moment. He said, "The day of liberation." "What are you talking about? The day of liberation?" "Yes. The day of liberation was the most difficult moment in the whole Shoah." "Explain. What do you mean?" "As the Americans had come in, they had freed everybody. We were all lined up. There was this open area where every morning prisoners had to line up and be counted. And we were lined up over there, and the American officer who was in charge started asking people one after another, 'Where are you going?' 'France, Belgium, Holland, America.' And then they came to me. I had no place to go. Everybody had a place to go. I had no place to go. This morning before I left the house, with my wife watching me, I went to Google and I printed out something that brought back my childhood. There was a song that was sung before the Second World War, during the Second World War, after the Second World War. In English they have it entitled, 'Where Can We Go?' In Yiddish it was, 'Wohin will ich gehen?' 'Where will I go? Wer wird antworten mir?' 'Who's going to answer me? Where do I go? Where in the world does a Jew go to? There is no place for the Jew in the world. You have to put yourself back 58 years. There is no place.' There's an English translation here. 'The Jew always hounded and plagued, not sure of his hour or his day. His life is darkness and closed. Deserted, no friends, only foe.' We're pretty much in that position right now. 'No safe place. Tell me, where shall I go?' It was such a soulful song. 'Wohin soll ich gehen? Wer wird antworten mir?' 'Where will I go? Who's going to answer? Tell me, every door is barred to me. Though the world is large enough, there's no room for me. Each road is closed. I am not free. Tell me where I shall go. You know what you have to understand? You can get yourself onto a plane, either at Kennedy or Newark or anyplace else. 9 hours and 45 minutes later, you land in Eretz Yisrael, and you complain about the food on the plane. You understand? And the 9 hours and 45 minutes is also pretty rough and tough. What a terrible flight that was. Understand? We were like sardines, El Al sardine class. There was a time 58 years ago that a Jew had no place in the world to go. I don't know why with this song came out about another 10 pages. And the 10 pages all have to do with, if you want an example of how bad it was for Jews, that had no place in the world to go. They have here a number of pieces about Canada. I lived in Canada for 12 years. Lived in Canada. During the war, Canada was asked to take in 20,000 Jewish children, and they said, we have no place. Do you understand the chutzpah? Canada can put another 1 billion people in. They didn't have place for 20,000 Jewish children. On May 3rd, 1947, it's 2 years since the war is over, on Victoria Day, the government permitted, the Canadian government, in its nobility, permitted 1,000 Jewish orphans to enter Canada. Wow. Wow. 1,000 Jewish orphans have a place to go. But wait a minute. Some of the orphans write that they had to be perfectly healthy. If they needed glasses, they didn't take them. If there was anything they thought was wrong, I don't think they ever got to the 1,000. Here's a newspaper report. A newspaper report about Canada, what Canada is doing. It's unbelievable. I tell you, it already, this is May 3rd, 1947, already some 50 of Europe's 850,000 displaced persons have arrived in Canada. 50 out of 850,000 Jews that had no homes 2 years after the war. How can you take Eretz Yisrael for granted? And another small party is on the way. Maybe another 5 Jews are on the way. There was a period of time that there wasn't a single door open for Jews in the world. That's why Jews marched across Europe after the war, got onto unseaworthy boats in order to try and make their way into Eretz Yisrael. You can't take Eretz Yisrael for granted. Nobody is going to tell me that the day on which the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael is not a Yom Simcha. If on every day I'm supposed to look at it as Ke'ilu Netona, as though God gave it to me today, Kal v'chomer on the day that he gave it to us? Was it unbelievable Yeshua for Klal Yisrael? It was also the Rebbeinu sending a message to Jews throughout the world. Chevra, this is your place.
Oh yeah, I have it.
Jerusalem Post this morning. Jerusalem Post this morning. Ah, Israel overtakes U.S. as world's largest Jewish community. That's this morning. There are more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than there are in the good old USA. Eretz Yisrael, according to the Jerusalem Post, is officially the largest Jewish community in the world. Jewish history will be written here. It will not be written in the United States of America. In the United States of America, Jews are vanishing. When I saw this article this morning, I remembered an article that I had seen in the Jerusalem Post in 1990. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post that said the following. Toward the end of the century, man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto the tarmac at Ben Gurion Airport, and a dramatic change is going to take place in Jewish history. Till the end of the century, or a few years later, man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto Eretz Yisrael. And at that moment, Eretz Yisrael, for the first time since Bayit Rishon, will become the largest Jewish community in the world. We are officially there. Fact is that I was in New York about 3-4 months ago, and the Jewish press already wrote then. They didn't wait for the Jerusalem Post today. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm such a genius that I remember articles from the Jerusalem Post from 1990. I remember that one because I wrote it. And here it is. Israel overtakes U.S. as the world's largest Jewish community. This is not Yad Hashem. This is not the fulfillment of the prophecies of who knows how many Nevi'im. This is not the Shabbat Shabbat Kechot Shvutcha V'nichamecha V'shav V'kibetcha Mikol Amin. This is not the promise that the Rebbeinu gave to Kochel Imenu V'shavu Barim L'Gvulam V'shavu Me'edetz. Oh yeah, what are you talking about? We are the embodiment, you, all of you, all of us, we are the embodiment of the fulfillment of the words of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im said it 2,500 years ago, and we're it. We're here because of that. I always say, I don't need any fancy proofs that Torah is min hashamayim or that the Rebbeinu exists. All I look is at the Jewish present, and I see that Moshe emes v'toruchaso emes, and kol divrei hanevi'im emes heim. It's all true. We're the living proof that it's all true. There was another speaker there last night, Professor Yisrael Oman, the Nobel Prize winner this year for the prize in economics, who lost a son, Shlomo, in the Milchemet Shlom HaGalil, the Lebanon War, in 1982. Man is a walking Kiddush Hashem. So of all the interesting things, he read three letters that his son had written. I'm not going to tell you about the letters, just that one of them struck me. It's fascinating. His second letter, he says, is a letter that his son Shlomo, who had learned in Shalavim, sent to a fellow by the name of Yishai Kenigsberg. Amerikai, Eza Amerikai, was written on Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day, 1977. I want to tell you a story about Professor Oman. His son Shlomo fell late June, early July of 1982. Professor Oman was one of the Mispalim, the Beis Medrash of Netzach Yisrael in the Rechavia section of Yerushalayim. The Rosh Shiva was a giant of a man, Rabbi Yisrael Guzman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Yisrael Guzman went to the Levaya. By the way, Rav Guzman, in his 20s, was a member of the Bezdin of Rav Chaim Oizer in Vilna. You get some kind of an idea what kind of a giant Rav Guzman was. Anyway, they're coming back from the Levaya, so there was a fellow, Dr. Goldfein, who was driving Rav Guzman. Another, Dr. Goldfein just died a few months ago. Anyway, Rav Guzman says, "Don't take me home. Take me to Professor Oman's house." The family had already arrived back from the Levaya, and they were sitting, they had begun sitting Shiva, and Rav Guzman comes in, and he says, "I want to tell you something, Professor Oman. In 1940, in 41, the Germans came into the ghetto of Vilna. And one day they went through the ghetto and they took away Jewish children from their mothers. I had a little boy, Moishala. My wife, his mother, held on to him. Germans grabbed him and threw him into the truck together with dozens of other crying children. We never saw him after that again. I think toward the end of his life he still had one shoe, Moishala's shoe. Moishala's shoe, yeah. So he comes into Professor Oman's house and he tells him, "Professor Oman, I know exactly what's going on Bashamayim right now. My Moishala is telling your Shloimala, Ashrecha Shezachito, you were zeichet to die in defense of Klal Yisrael. I was not zeichet to that kind of a death." Professor Oman got up and he embraced Rav Gustman. Over 22,000 young people have given their lives so that we should learn, that we should live, that we should grow, that we should be able to survive and to thrive in this country. That's Yom HaZikaron. That's Yom HaAtzmaut. That Rashi, Tehei Be'einecha, Ke'ilu Netona Lecha Bo Bayom. Eretz Yisrael has to be in your eyes every day like it was given to you today. It shouldn't be like Yerushas Ovas, something that you got from your father that you can squander, you can give away. I've always said, Rav Shimon Yochai, the famous Maimon Chazal, everybody knows the Maimon Chazal. Shimon Yochai says, there are three great gifts that the Rebbeim gave to his people. The Chulam, the Nitnu, El, Yidei Yisudim, they were all given only through suffering. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Abba. Can you imagine the following scene? Somebody saying to the Rebbeim, listen, you know, Torah, what a great gift Torah is. What a terrific gift. But you know, Michael, you know, you don't have to, you keep your Torah. Olam Abba, it's a wonderful, yeah, come on, so name Matanis, yeah, I don't need your Matanis, keep your Matanis. God forbid, nobody would ever say that. But many people, by their actions, seem to feel that Torah, of course, Olam Haba is a good zach, learning Torah is a better zach, but Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, let the Zionist nuts go over there. This is not for me. You know, I have my community now, my desels now, my mikveh now, my kosher pizza place, we have everything. Eretz Yisrael is not for us. Eretz Yisrael is on the same level as Torah and Olam Haba. No Jew is mevater on Torah or Olam Haba. Certainly should not be mevater on Eretz Yisrael. It has to become part of one's commitment that you made the night of the Seder. Hashata Hoka L'shon Haba B'Yared Yisrael. By the way, what is the Pshat in Dayenu anyway? You thought I'd forget. Usually when I'm finished speaking, I remind myself 10 things that I wanted to say. But this one I'm not going to forget. I'll tell you why I'm not going to forget. I was zeichet before Pesach to be instrumental in publishing the Haggadah. Not my own. A Haggadah that was written by the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan, less a figure than the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan. You have to read my biography of the Orach HaShulchan to get some kind of a feeling what he was. The only person since the Shulchan Orach that was written by the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo and the Chamor, that wrote on all of Shulchan Aruch. I was sitting on Pesach with Rav Nochem Rabinovich, Hoshiva of Malei Adumim, he told me that he was once sitting with Rav Henkin, was Gedol HaPoskim before Rav Moshe in the United States. And Rav Henkin told him, he said, I want you to know something else about the Aruch HaShulchan. All of the Meforshim of the Rambam were Meforish either part or parts, but never, there was nobody who ever was Meforish every part of the Rambam. The only one who was Meforish the whole Rambam was the Aruch HaShulchan. In addition to the four Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, and in each halacha he brings the Rambam. There's also the Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid and Mitzvah Sakluyas Barts, all the rest, it's all there. The greatest Meforish of the Rambam. So I'll tell you what he says. Says the following. Ilu kergon olif deyasin, if God would have brought us before Har Sinai, if like Nasa alone was Torah, would not have given us Torah. He says, chas v'sholem, to read it the way it sounds. That's not what it means. Of course he was going to give us Torah. Do you know what the godless of the Rabbeinu Shalom was? Nosan lanu es haTorah. He gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, and the ones who now have the responsibility, the right, and the obligation to make decisions in Torah, Klal Yisrael. From the moment he gave it to us, lo b'shamayim he. You can't, like Rabbi Elazar said, in the great machlokes with Rabbi Yeshua about Tanur Achnai, Baskol should come out. Baskol said the halachas like Rabbi Elazar. The Beis Medrash started to cave in. All of nature was in upheaval. And Rabbi Yeshua stood there and he said, sorry, Rabbi Elazar, lo b'shamayim he. The Rebbe gave us Torah with the midos, the Yud Gimel midos of Rabbi Yishmael, Kal v'chomeg, Zerah Shavah, Klal u'prad, Prat u'klal, Shnei k'suvim amet k'shim zeh, Nosan lanu, he entrusted Torah to us, that we are the ones who become the deciders. And then he says, Ilu nosan lanu was our Torah, if he would have given us Torah, v'lo hichni samul eretz Yisrael. Listen to the words. The moment you hear what the Aruch HaShulchan has to say, you're going to wonder for the rest of your life, why didn't you read it that way before? The Rebbe Yishmael could have given us the opportunity. Okay, boys, here you are. You got an army. You got 600,000. Go ahead. Get your pontoon bridges ready. Cross the Yarden. That's not what he did. He split the Yarden. Hichni sonu. He brought us in. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The Rebbe Yishmael was with us. Begolui on the field of battle. That's what Dayan was saying. You could have let us go in, and like all other people, as a warring army, we'll conquer Eretz Yisrael. Little Sata Dishmaya never hurt anybody. But that's not what the Rebbeinu did. Hichni sonul Eretz Yisrael. The ilu hichni sonul Eretz Yisrael v'lo bon alonu es beis habchide. He says, do you understand? Bonalonu, he was building it with us. We could have built it ourselves. We have Kaplanim. We know how to put up a building. The Rebbeinu was with us there every step of the way. It's a whole different way of looking at the Dayan. Can't under any circumstances go back there and tell me, oh, why don't people listen to what they're saying? Ilu, would God have... given us Torah, not given us Eretz Yisrael. He says, Chas v'sholem, he wouldn't have given us Eretz Yisrael. He swore that he's going to give us Eretz Yisrael. How can that right? Hei be'inecho. Just like by Torah it says, Yehei be'inecho k'chadashim, by Eretz Yisrael it says, Hei be'inecho, like it was given to you today. I have a shevach v'hodoya to give to the Rabbeinu Shalom also. It's an experience I've had in the last few years. And I had it again today. When the siren went off, about 20 seconds into the siren, 30, I was choked up. By 50 seconds, there were tears in my eyes. By the end of those 2 minutes, I was crying. And I felt for one of those great moments in your life when you can feel somebody else's pain. People can say Tillin 1,000 times and not feel for a moment the pain of a family that lost a son in battle. You can go through our lifetime talking about the Shoah and not really feel it until a moment in a book or something that overcomes you and you feel it. I cherish those moments because those are the moments at which I feel most alive Jewishly. I was standing in the street there crying. I said, Hodol Hashem Ki Tov. I just now felt the pain of a fellow Jew. It's an unbelievable experience. You can't get bogged down in Bittul Torah, Tillim, Mishnayos. Nothing takes the place of being able to feel the pain of Klal Yisrael, feel what it means. You're zeichet to feel that gives you the right when the day comes on which the Rebbeinu in fact gave us that great gift. Yes, we, this generation. And if you wonder why he gave it to this generation, because this generation had no place where to go. You can't look at Jewish history, the history of internal people, you cannot look at it through the spectacles of your own little world. There was a time that after millions of Jews were slaughtered, that hundreds of thousands had no place where to go. Fuahim Velachyeh. There's a place now. You know what else? There's a great challenge that we have over here. We're the ones that have to bring Torah and Yirat Shamayim and a sense of what it is to be a Jew, a Torah Jew, to this country. Large number of people who have lost all touch with Yiddishkeit. Not lost. But we have to do our very best. Yiratzon number one, that all of those Kedoshim Utahodim that died for this country should be Militze Yosha for us right now. Boy, do we need them. We're in a lot of trouble. We're the only country and people on the face of this earth, the only ones who are being threatened openly to be totally destroyed. Ein l'hamin. This guy Ahmad, something or other, Chad in Iran, Stan can say, they're going to destroy the Jewish people. We know that it's not going to happen. We know that the convention is going to stand with us. But the world hasn't changed. We're hated, we're despised, because we're on Hashem. And we have to stick together. And we have to stick together right here. This is where Jewish history is being written. Se Hayom, Asa Hashem, Nogilov, and Nismachovah.